starts right now.
Consideration of any add-ons. We do have the discussion item regarding the letter from the Attorney General that I wanted to bring. So we would need a motion and a second to add.
We're going to, I don't know, just something. We're going to talk about that. That didn't happen different. In the meeting. I know you
Oh, that didn't happen in the meeting?
No, but that'd be fun. I wish that Jared had that button.
Oh, the sound effects button. I would love it.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, he could go with it. He could go all kinds of different ones he could use. Or kind of like that one. That's more like the city urban one. All right. So, yeah, the Attorney General, James Uthmeyer, writes this scathing personal opinion. And they added on to the they talk about adding it on to the agenda review yesterday at City Council.
If we're going to talk about the Attorney General's comments, I feel like we should talk to about everyone's comments. I don't think it should be limited to the Attorney General. We have people that live in this city, that live in our districts, that have made comments, and we're not listening to them. We're not going to review their comments, but we're just going to listen to the Attorney General. I feel like everyone's comments should be talked about.
No, I actually agree with that. Charles Baer, you know, he's always the, like, contrarian in the group. He and Jen Brer are the two, like, if there's going to be a no, it's going to come from them. And which that serves a purpose because that means all your ideas get discussed. But, yeah, I totally agree. If, you know, why is the Attorney General special? He doesn't live here. It's not an Attorney General's opinion. It's an Attorney General's opinion. You know, and so... So what? You know, he's just another person in public forum. It's just, it's on pretty stationary is all.
Okay, well, certainly. And that's why I brought the discussion item. It's a complex enough issue, and we've had enough time invested in it that I just wanted to provide that forum, not necessarily to speak to anybody's comments, but to ensure that we had an opportunity to discuss as a body what path we were choosing to take. I wasn't intending to disrespect anybody, but...
So they voted to add it on to the yesterday meeting for discussion at the end.
If there's no additional comments, then we will vote to add that as a discussion item, which will follow the stormwater discussion.
We're going to take a vote?
Yes. Please vote. All right. Motion passes 6-1. So it is added.
So Charles voted against even adding it on principle, which I think is in some ways is the right move. Like, if you're going to have it as an actual agenda item in the city council meeting, then have it as an actual agenda item in the city council meeting. There's no need to discuss it just because you have the Attorney General. Although I will say I'm glad they had the discussion because a lot of interesting stuff got said. Now, along the way, Jared kind of introduces the subject. This is all the way at the end of the meeting. It's a 40-minute meeting, so it's not you didn't have to wait long.
Regarding the Attorney General's letter, and again, just to clarify where I was coming from and bringing that was you know, this is certainly an item that's garnered a fair amount of community attention, and we've had a lot of attendance at our meetings. And so anytime I certainly respect our own legal counsel, but you get a letter from the highest legal voice in the state, it didn't seem prudent to just ignore it, for lack of a better term. So I wanted to at least... hear where the heads of the rest of council were and give our legal counsel an opportunity to brief us if necessary. So
I said you could have just ignored it, but okay, fine. So then we have kind of awkward moments, and this becomes relevant in the later conversation. They've started using the same system that Milton uses, the Civic Plus. It's terrible. I mean, it's really terrible. It's like it's worse than even what we had before. I do not understand. All of the governments in all of the United States that have to deal with software, and apparently there just isn't a good one out there. Escambia County is always moaning about theirs. It's bad. Pensacola City Council's adopted theirs. It's bad. Santa Rosa County, everybody seems to have, like, nobody's happy with any of what they've got. Santa Rosa doesn't complain about it too much, I don't think. But still, I mean, it's like, how hard can this, maybe I ought to start a company. I don't know how to program. Anyway.
I think we're still on item 26. Is it possible in the system to move to the next item? I'm showing current item is stormwater assessment workshop.
And then a lot of waiting while we're trying to hope the system figures it out, and it does not.
This awkward moment brought to you by Civic Plus. Making meetings inefficient and frustrating since at least 2025.
Jared, you wouldn't think is so funny, but I know Jared. Jared's funny. He just doesn't say it a lot in public.
I'm trying to outsmart it, and it's not possible. We're going to go old school. So if you would like to say anything, raise your hand. Councilmember Bear.
All right, so we'll get to the comments in just a second because it gets very interesting very quickly. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right, still rolling accident-free right now if you're on Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile. Seeing about a 3 to 5 minute delay in that area, 98 westbound as you approach the Garcelon Point Bridge. I'm seeing about a 3 to 5 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So, Pensacola City Council in the agenda meeting yesterday taking up the, you know, very sternly written email or whatever from the Attorney General Uthmeyer. Okay, so Charles Bear, City Councilman Charles Bear, is going to be first here, but it's kind of funny. Here, listen.
Councilmember Bear.
I think Councilwoman Bear was first, but I'll go ahead and speak. So,
like the thing didn't work quite right?
No, with all due respect to the Attorney General's office, this was an unsolicited opinion. We did not ask for a legal opinion from this person. And as far as I'm concerned, this is his personal opinion written on government letterhead, wasting taxpayer dollars to do something that's his own personal opinion.
Yes. Nobody asked you, James. That is as cogent a response as any. I mean, Charles Bear nailed it better than I did. We didn't ask you. This doesn't matter. It's on government stationery. It is a waste of our money for the Doge guy to be weighing in on all this. That's pretty good.
Got a lot of people in this community that have voiced their opinions, both sides, probably more one side than the other, that we haven't discussed. And so I think it is disingenuous to the people of our city to take this seriously and to do anything about it. So I think it's an unnecessary conversation. I appreciate everyone's opinion. If we're not going to talk about everyone's opinion, we don't need to talk about his. Thank you.
We could have just ignored it, and that would have been fine.
All right. Dare you say anything now? I'll All right. Comment rescinded. Anyone else?
Jen Brer unpushed her button, sort of like Homer backing up into the ivy. I don't need to say anything now. It's all been said. But it hasn't all been said. Because, listen, Allison Patton, District 6, does not speak a lot. She's the vice president. She does not speak a lot. This is phenomenal. Okay, you have to understand that in real life, she's an attorney. Okay? So, and she's not like a forceful speaker type, you know, like Charles is very, you know, former military guy, you know, loud, obnoxious, sometimes anyway. Listen to what Allison says. This is amazing.
So I have a little bit of a different viewpoint. Not that this opinion is more important than any other opinion. I mean, I certainly have received lots of opinions and thoughts about this. But I do think it is unusual to get a letter addressed to the city council from the Attorney General's office. So from that perspective, you know, I am reading the letter and paying attention to it.
Sure, it is unusual, especially when it's not asked for nor is an official opinion, but it's still unusual.
I'm a little surprised that we received a letter when apparently this show is playing in St. Petersburg in a public venue, and I'm not aware of any similar letter to the city council in St. Petersburg.
Devastating. Understated. You know, I think maybe the same exact show is showing elsewhere in Florida 3 days before Christmas, and I'm not aware that they got a letter like this. Devastating part one. Part two.
I also, you know, looked at this, I guess, with my attorney hat on, and I think there was a passing reference to the First Amendment in this letter, which strikes me as less than a thorough vetting of this issue.
It's devastating part two. You know, kind of seems like the issue here is the First Amendment, and you just barely mentioned that in this letter. You see how she's so understated? Like, you could miss it if you're not really listening carefully.
Council's will and desire is to just have this be yet another opinion and not do anything more with it, that's totally fine. But if we were interested in really kind of running this to ground, if you will, in a way that I think would sort of bring closure, at least in my mind, it would be to find ourselves a First Amendment attorney, use some of those professional services funds that we have available that we're using, for example, for our stormwater fee workshop, and get their opinion on this, because a lot of people have said our contract allows us to get out, the First Amendment be darned. Others, including our esteemed city attorney and staff, have said there is a very real risk here that we will end up spending a lot of money on litigation and other potential consequences of canceling the show. So, which right now I tend to agree that there is a significant First Amendment risk. So if we wanted to sort of put that, at least the legal part of this, to bed, that would be my suggestion.
So if all y'all who are protesting about this would like us to spend money on hiring a First Amendment attorney to get an opinion about our legal liability instead of, say, planning for stormwater, it's so understated. You know, where you want to take the money from? What city services would you rather us not fund because we're wasting money on finding out what we already know, which is that we can't cancel it because of the First Amendment that the Attorney General barely mentioned in his silly letter? So she continues. This is why I'm so impressed with Allison Patton from yesterday.
Last option, if the Attorney General wants to indemnify us if we cancel the show for any further costs, then certainly if that was brought to us, I would think we'd want to have a discussion about that as well.
Yeah, you know, if the Attorney General actually wants to put his office on the line and say, we'll protect you from any legal liability here, I mean, that's, you know, we consider it then. See, what she said is all the same stuff that I was saying yesterday. She just said it so much nicer. So much less overstated. I don't know. This is great. From an attorney's perspective, like tick, 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 we're done. Jared Moore?
I'm not seeing anybody else. I might should have had you speak last, Councilman Bear, threw a wet blanket on top of the discussion item. But
yeah, it would have been like to build to Charles Bear's comments would have been kind of fun. Casey Jones?
Not speaking as an attorney. I also agree it didn't seem to be a legal opinion. It seemed to be more of a personal opinion because it didn't seem like there was any precedent or case law or anything that was mentioned in the letter. So I agree.
Yeah. The footnotes are, let's say, scant on the issue of the First and 14th Amendments. And then finally, Jared Moore, the city council president.
But that precedent established with St. Petersburg as well has a significant bearing on me as far as the actionability of things. It seems like it's an identical situation for us. And so it seems what's been guiding the city up to this point is the Constitution, the First Amendment, you know, First 14th Amendments, and the significant legal ramifications. And I don't know this letter changed anything for me either. So
it doesn't. There's times when you're not proud of your government, and there's times when you are. And look, I know all the people who are against this drag show are so unproud of city council, right? I'm super proud of them. Because not only have they been taking the right approach all along, which is, yeah, we're not going to do anything different. We can't. Our lawyer says so. Now when the Attorney General of the state of Florida weighs in with his silly letter, without any actual authority behind it, and certainly not an order to stop the show, and no protection for legal liability after the fact, all the things you know talked about, they basically said, we're done. Not even to come up at the city council meeting on Thursday. This was literally, I earlier misunderstood that. I thought they were adding it on to the Thursday meeting. They did not even do that. They just said, let's have a conversation today. Okay, we're done. And they're done. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3. John, you're laughing over there. Just
they're done.
They're done. Meh. I mean, you know, we'd kind of like to have a productive relationship with the Attorney General moving forward. He's likely to get elected to the office next year, but we're done. I'm Andrew McKay.
Today, Strength for Life honors our veterans. Veterans Day was previously called Armistice Day. The word armistice means truce. It was at 11 o'clock of the 11th day of the 11th month, which of course is November, when Germany and allied nations signed a truce to end the Great War, World War I. 1 year later, Woodrow Wilson declared that on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, Americans should observe a moment of silence to remember the truce and embrace peace. This national holiday honors both those who have served during America's war times, as well as those who have served during times of peace. To all those veterans out there, thank you for your service to our country. We appreciate you deeply and recognize the United States of America to be the greatest country in human history. Thank you for your sacrifice to this great nation.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Open enrollment is here, and this year you can enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent. Affiliated Insurance wants to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meets your needs, not theirs. Make enrollment hassle-free this year by calling 850-477-5840. Again, that's 850-477-5840, and make that appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today. Policies have limitation. Health insurance from Blue Cross Blue Shield Florida Incorporated, BVA Florida Blue.
Joann Fabrics may be closed.
They're closed?
But you'll find all you need at Darrell's Sewing of Pensacola.
Darrell's?
Yes, Darrell's is the largest sewing and embroidery machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering lots of fabrics, sewing machine furniture, sewing and embroidery supplies, and notions. Financing is available, and there are lots of classes scheduled for this fall, so get registered now at sewinginpensacola.com.
That's Darrell's Sewing of Pensacola?
Yep, at 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
How did this happen?
With talk radio?
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay, okay.
The car just committed suicide.
Shut up, man.
That's hilarious.
I know. That's from Pineapple Express. Talk radio? So boring, man. The car just committed suicide. 726 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner. Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782. Still rolling accident-free right now. Starting to see a little backup on Highway 90 southbound. As you approach the Scenic Highway, Pensacola area, just a minor delay in that. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Have I ever told you, John, might be a secret to you, but do you know I have a whole folder full of sound drops specifically that make fun of me?
No.
Like,
can I have access to that?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
There. Oh.
Wow. Is that the only monologue that you got?
Like that kind of stuff. Just when I hear something that makes me, entertained like that.
The trouble was, it was just stupendously irritating from start to finish.
Those kinds of things. So I don't ever use them much, but they're there if I ever want to go that direction. And sometimes it's when like a character name shows up in a TV show or something that just happens to be the right name. Like it's an Andrew or a...
You're mistaken, Mr. McKay.
That kind of thing. Anyway, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David, it feels like the whole treasure trove now. Don't you wish you had it?
Oh, yeah.
No, sir. All right, David, go ahead.
Thanks. You know, this massive collection of sound bites is not shocking in any way, shape, or form.
No, I know.
They cover a lot of territory, McKay.
Delays and cancellations continuing at airports across the country, continuing to cause headaches for travelers. Flights at dozens of airports have been reduced by the FAA due to the government shutdown. Hopefully that'll be ending soon. Looking at our Pensacola airport, not a whole lot of effect here so far this morning. There does look like there's maybe two flight delays this morning. Multiple people facing charges after a tense and bloody protest at a Turning Point USA rally at UC Berkeley, an event that drew hundreds of attendees Monday night, along with dozens of protesters. And of course, this 2 months now after the assassination of Charlie Kirk during a speaking engagement in Utah. And today, Andrew, is Veterans Day. And that comes, of course, with an increased focus on the topic of suicide. The most recent data available from the VA says that there's an average of 17.6 suicides per day among veterans, a rate that's far higher than the general non-veteran population. And help is available if anybody out there needs it. You can get that by calling 988.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody texted in, it's almost as if the governor, the CFO, and the attorney general have chosen to make the Pensacola area a target of an ongoing and unfounded anti-woke crusade because of some grievance that started after a financial corruption investigation commenced at the hands of our local state representative. Follow the money. Always follow the money. I just read the texts. 4-3-7-16-20, but yeah, there you go. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to, sometimes it gets said pretty well. we'll just move on. Hey, Sheriff Simmons is going to be here coming up next. Of course, we'll talk with him about this horrendous incident with the children and also a weird chase scene that took place in Tampa over the weekend.
News. I'm CJ Papa on day 41 of the shutdown.
On this vote, the ayes are 60, the nays are 40. The bill, as amended, is passed.
Fox's Madeline Rivera reports.
The House vote to align with the Senate is expected to take place around 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. House Speaker Mike Johnson sounds optimistic the bill will pass.
Many travelers facing a nightmare during the shutdown. The percentage of flights required to be canceled by the FAA increases to 6% today.
We're learning that 5.2 million passengers have been affected by these disruptions of the government shutdown since October 1st. Right now, O'Hare is in the worst shape of any airport around the country with the most delays and the most cancellations.
And Fox's Kelly Saberi at O'Hare. President Trump promising a $10,000 bonus for air traffic controllers who remain on the job for the duration of the shutdown. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got sunshine, 34 degrees right now in Pensacola. Of course, we'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way in just a few minutes. Downtown Pensacola is likely getting a major makeover starting in January. The city council meeting is the CRA on Monday voted 5-2 to approve more than $10.7 million for the reimagined Palafox project. Now, they do still have to give final approval on Thursday. The project would completely rebuild Palafox from Garden to Main with wider sidewalks, better drainage, and brick pavers. The street would be closed for several months starting in January, although sidewalks and storefronts would stay open. Business owners have worried that the construction will drive away their customers. Businessman Quint Studer, though, has pledged to help businesses facing cash flow issues during the construction process. The contractor would also get a bonus if Palafox is reopened by Memorial Day. The city is making over 400 parking spaces free throughout that construction process as well. A retired Navy captain is keeping Pensacola's Veterans Memorial Park in pristine condition to honor everybody who's served Butch Hansen. He heard that park, known as the Jewel by the Bay, was falling into disrepair after he retired, so he volunteered.
The city has set aside this hallowed ground where you can come in repose and honor the fallen.
And Hansen now says he spends countless hours maintaining the grounds, securing donations, even giving tours to students and community groups. He's personally placed every brick paver leading to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial replica. His favorite spot is the World War I Memorial. His grandfather fought for Germany in that war, was captured by U.S. troops and later immigrated to America. Hansen says visible reminders of sacrifice are important, so everybody appreciates the freedoms that we enjoy daily. Well, there's still shock and disbelief in an Escambia County neighborhood after a trusted resident at a trailer park community allegedly killed two young children.
I just gave those children Halloween candy.
That's one neighbor there at the Grand Oaks Mobile Home Park. 27-year-old John Henry Walston was charged with murdering 9-year-old Vaden Oram and 7-year-old Raiden Smith. They were spending the night at Walston's trailer last Friday. Walston also faces charges of sexually assaulting one of the kids. One neighbor tells Channel 3 nobody suspected that level of evil. Walston remains in jail. He's scheduled to make his first appearance in court on Wednesday. Well, Northwest Florida communities honoring veterans today with parades and ceremonies in Pensacola today. A parade kicks off at 9 a.m. from Spring and Main to Veterans Memorial Park. There's a ceremony scheduled at 11 a.m. in Santa Rosa County. The parade starts at 9:30. And Santa Rosa County also holding ceremonies in Gulf Breeze and Navarre. And then in Okaloosa County, Crestview's parade starts at 9. Destin has two new statues honoring female veterans, and they'll reveal those at 1 p.m. today. A day to remember and thank those who've served. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a check on our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on Highway 90 southbound headed toward Pensacola, expect about a 5 to 7 minute delay. And also at the intersection of 9 Mile and 29, both northbound and southbound, seeing a little bit of congestion delays. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
Cold and sunny skies for your Veterans Day, starting with the 30s. Highs this afternoon near 55 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 43. Much warmer going into your Wednesday afternoon. Sunny skies, high near 71. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 54. Keeping a warmer trend through the rest of the week by Thursday. Sunny skies, high near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we've got 35 degrees with sunny skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Hopefully history does not repeat with this sentiment tracker. Company executives are sounding strikingly optimistic about the economy this earnings season, but data from Bloomberg shows the mentions of economic slowdown or other related phrases on investor calls are the lowest since 2007. That's in spite of terrorist uncertainty, stretched stock valuations, and rising economic stress among working-class Americans. Restaurants across the U.S. will be serving up deals for veterans and active-duty military personnel today in honor of Veterans Day. Cracker Barrel, Bob Evans, Applebee's, Red Lobster, and Buffalo Wild Wings are among many offering free entrees to military members. Just have to show proof of service. On Wall Street, futures are mixed after trading in AI stocks roared back to life yesterday. The NASDAQ had its best day since May, gaining more than 2%. That's Your Money Now.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Pensacola knows the Blue Angels.
The Blue Angel, vertical.
We feel the thunder. We look to the sky. But the stories behind the blue and gold, those are just as breathtaking. Were they ever known as the Blue Lancers? Did air show lore really include dogfights with Japanese Zeros? And what happened the day Fat Albert became a hero over open water? Join us for the History of the Blue Angels, a special series that climbs through the myths, the milestones, and the moments that made America's Flight Demonstration Squadron a legend. Weekdays at 6:15 a.m. and 4:15 p.m. Now through November 14th, presented by our partners at Dale's Marine Construction, your Shoreline Solution Company, and Lambert's Moving Systems, moving the Gulf Coast forward for over 100 years. It's the History of the Blue Angels every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15, right here on News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we've got Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, with us here in studio. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm always having a good time. Except, of course, this week we have some really horrible things to talk about. But right. before we get there, because just want some other ones. I guess there was a stabbing, cutting last night between two homeless people. Is that right?
Well, we got a report on 1800 block of North Blue Angel. I guess Bobby J's Saloon. We got a report that a guy had been cut in the arm, and his description was a homeless guy cut him.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's,
so one,
that's where
one
we're at. Now, I don't vagrant, know if both of knows? Them were homeless or not, okay. But they were at least at one point inside or near and about this particular saloon.
Okay. And at this point, still looking for that other person?
Yeah, the description changed. It went from the clothing changed, and I'm really not sure what the description is.
Tall, thin brunette became a short, stout blonde, and
yeah. Wait a second. On a second thought, is this guy wasn't right. wearing a blue shirt at all? He was wearing a dress. Who knows?
Okay. Also, we had, and this was right after you and I had talked last week, I think, but we had the shooting that took place at the Whataburger parking lot on Pensacola Boulevard in Boone. Is that right?
Yeah, so one car backs in, is waiting for an order.
Into the parking space. Okay.
Over there by the Whataburger. And then another car pulls in nearby. Two people get out and allegedly have a large amount of marijuana with them. And they approach the individual that was in the back seat of that backed-in car. They exchanged words and also exchanged gunfire. So two people were hit. Both of them with very serious injuries, and we did recover 2 pounds of marijuana, and both cars sped away into two different hospitals, and we are still investigating it, still trying to piece things together.
Okay, so, I mean, intended drug deal goes wrong, sideways, people get shot, and you're still trying to figure out exactly what happened, who's to blame, all that.
Well, I can tell you two people were injured, and 2 pounds of marijuana or so was recovered at the scene.
Okay.
And information after that is vague.
Okay. All right. There was another an arrest for somebody from a shooting that was back on Arlington Drive on October 25th. This is Olvin Adone Rojas. Is that right? You guys followed up on that?
Yeah, we have been looking for this individual. I actually don't have the cancellation, but I noticed that he was an individual that we were looking for, and as I understand, he's in jail now.
Okay. All right. Very good. And then maybe at the lighter end, but still it's a issue you guys dealt with, somebody had taken some stolen credit cards and used them to buy food at Flounders and McGuire's.
Yeah, that's my understanding. A lot of food
at
Flounders and a lot of food at McGuire's. So they steal the cards or they fraudulently use the cards.
Yeah.
And they order a lot of food from these. They were living it up for a good period of time. Those places are good places to eat.
They are.
And unfortunately, they're using other people's money. Can't do that.
No, not allowed under the current rules in the United States of America.
Yeah.
just that.
There must be a law somewhere.
Right. Turning to the horrible big story of the week, and you and I both hate talking about this stuff, but this case is so awful. You guys respond to it because it's a fire, okay? And it's a fire at a mobile home, and, two children wind up dying, 7 and 9, I think. And then you guys investigate, and the ME investigates, and tell us how we got to where we are.
Well, it started out a fire. We weren't the ones, obviously, to respond. The Escambia County Fire and Rescue, mm-hmm. those guys do a great job. They put the fire out. So there's two adjacent trailers. One trailer is on fire. The fire department comes, puts it out. Then they find out, oh, no, there's two young children.
Yeah.
Ended up being, 8 and 10 or 7 and 10 years old. And now it's become a tragedy. Obviously, it was a fire, and now it is situation where there's two children that had been burned to death as well. This is early stages of the investigation.
And this is on Friday.
Right, on the 7th. And then we also find out that this guy named John Henry Walston had escaped the fire. And he was suffering from some burns. He went to the hospital. Now we find out that there's another, I think a 12-year-old that had escaped that trailer also. Went next door, knocked on the door to get his mother. Again, there's family members staying in both of these trailers. Mother tries to get inside the trailer. It's fully engulfed.
She's trying to rescue the kids.
She's trying to get in to see who was in there and try to help her kids. Ultimately, we work with the medical examiner's office, with the fire marshal's office, and then as bad as the tragedy was, we were able to ascertain that the children were killed not by the fire, but they were killed before the fire was set. So what we had discovered was this piece of work, John Henry Walston, who had assaulted at least one of the children, and then decided he would burn them. He was to kill them. So he killed them, stabbed them, and then he set fire to the trailer, and he got himself out. Luckily, the 12-year-old was able to escape on his own, even though he wasn't with no help from this Walston character.
So the 12-year-old was also intended to be a victim, you think?
Right. There were three children and Walston and a dog inside the trailer when it was set fire. The two children were already stabbed, already killed. And then he saved himself. The dog wasn't able to save himself, obviously, nor were the two children. But there was a 12-year-old that was able to escape. So this, again, a tragedy turned into just an unimaginable act. You think you see stuff on TV, you read books, and you think, oh, who could do something like that? And then you realize that there are people in this world that are evil. There are people that are willing to do this, all of it, just willing to do all of it, from an assault to a stabbing to a fire to a saving yourself to all of this. It just makes you as bad as it gets.
And a friend of the family, this is, the kids were staying with him. Everybody knew, the community. All of this comes as a total shock to them as well, in addition to the loss. Every form of betrayal you could imagine, every form of pain you could imagine. I even think about it in terms of, the firefighters who responded, the EMS who responded, your deputies who responded, the ME who does the investigation, and which is part of what they do, right, is to find out if an accident was an accident. Or if a suicide was not a suicide, which that's also something they investigate, and to find out real cause of death. And for them to discover this and to be the first ones to have to encounter this reality, and a lot about mental health. We talk a lot about, what your folks and what first responders deal with. It's sometimes the most awful things imaginable. And
you start to think of what goes through the mind of a firefighter. Your job is to put this fire out.
Yeah.
You put the fire out, and then you come upon a victim. What goes, oh, no. I mean.
Right.
You're expecting to put the fire out, and I guess the first thing you do is you look for survivors, obviously trying to get people that might need help, and you realize that this is not just a fire. This is a fatality. Then you see a second child, and you realize this is a double fatality. And then at that point, everything else starts kicking in. We always – how this happened, why this happened, because these things aren't, this certainly is not normal.
Right.
Certainly not right. And then, the medical examiner's office determined rather quickly that, these aren't fire injuries, although fire obviously injured the bodies, but that was post-death. And you try not to think about what they went through.
Yeah.
You try not to, because I don't know.
As a parent, person, it's a lot.
The only thing we have is the fact that the community has kind of rallied around them, and the second thing is that the person that did this is going to be held accountable. That there's a picture of this guy, and every time I look at this picture, and I'm just thinking, you're going to get yours.
Yeah,
We're
talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. I'll take a quick break. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I appreciated the video that you put out. In the end of your video, you basically said, I don't even know what to say. There's nothing to say. It's when you see something like that. And I mentioned this yesterday, that you think about how the act horrible act harming these children, horrible act harming these families, horrible act harming the whole community, because we're all wounded by this. And then it poisons all of our relationships with all the people that we normally think we can trust with our kids, and all of the everything about this is evil across the board. And
no one wants to see a child injured,
right?
Right. And we're, you know, they're everyone's children, right? It takes a village and that sort of thing. And then again, when you think of what people may be going through, have gone through, it just brings the cruelty to the forefront. And I'm an optimist, right? I think I think the best of people. I try to think the best of people, but there are times when I struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I you know, sometimes good thing I'm a cop.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think I've told this before, but really good friends of ours when we lived in Phoenix was a detective for Phoenix PD, worked on the child crimes unit. And he had to stop after several years because he had kids. And, you know, he just, I can't do this anymore, which I think of that all the time because I'm so close to you guys and thinking about what your officers go through and what the ME goes through and all of that. Just, again, anyway. On a completely different subject, we do have a parade today. It is Veterans Day, right?
Right, right. It is Veterans Day. I'm going to leave here, maybe don a jacket, because it's a little cool down there.
Yeah, a little bit.
And members of the Sheriff's Office will participate in the downtown parade, but also the parade on Pensacola Beach, to just say thank you to the veterans.
How many veterans work for the Sheriff's Office?
You know, I don't have the exact number, but we love to
ballpark,
hire,
quarter, half?
Oh, I would say probably over a quarter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
somewhere between a quarter and a half. Now, I will tell you, it used to be more. And when I first started at the Pensacola Police Department, because I was young, almost all of the supervisors were former Vietnam era. In fact, I'm here because my dad was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there seemed
to be.
Wait,
you're a cop because your dad was a Vietnam vet?
I'm a what?
You're a cop because your dad was a vet?
No, I'm a cop because my dad wore the uniform, and I felt like that was a good, noble cause.
And he was
something
a vet.
Like
okay.
that, and he happened to be a veteran. That's why we were here.
Got it. Okay.
I was at that crossroads where should I join the military or should I join law enforcement? And it was one of those things where they both wore the uniform. They both were our jobs and occupations I could be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed me at the police department more than at least quicker.
Yeah.
Than they needed me elsewhere.
And, of course, just for people who may not know, your history in the police department was you went into SWAT, so you went into the most military-esque element right. of law enforcement, and so, you know, certainly worked in that regard. You guys are having coffee with a cop Thursday?
Yes, at the Lucky Goat on North Davis.
Okay.
Now, I have not been there yet, but they delivered some coffee to us during one of our events that we've had a couple weeks ago. And while I'm not a connoisseur of coffee.
I was going to ask you, do you drink coffee?
It sure tasted good. You put a little cream and a lot of sugar in there. You can make a lot of things taste good with sweet and low.
Are you a sweet and low guy?
Whatever it is, whatever color it is.
What color do you put in yours? I'm curious.
I usually mix them because, you know, I'm a
variety.
Away. Pink and blue.
I got you with the like the pink,
good.
White, and blue. You know, it's like the American flag ish sort of
pouring
into
your coffee.
One of
these is going to taste good.
Eventually, I'll get it to be drinkable. I love it. Oh, hey, it's a quick thing, but it happens to be relevant because of the training that John and I got a chance to do out at the driver out of Brunson Field.
Right.
We were watching, and I know you've seen it because you know I talked briefly before the show, but this incident took place in Tampa. They were chasing this guy. They've got it on the infrared from the helicopter, and it's a horrible story because they wind up calling off the pursuit, and he still runs at a high speed, drunk apparently, into a bar, kills 4 people, wounds 17 more, runs away, has a gun. Like, there's a whole story involved in this. The part, and of course it brings to mind the question of do you chase, do you not chase, and what speed and what's safe. The only thing that I noticed is when I was watching the video is, and I don't want to say how you do it, but I will say that how you don't do it is what it seemed like what they did was not a good pit technique. And I wondered if it was just the speed made it hard to do, or if, because you guys do training on this, maybe not every agency does specific training on this.
Right. I think that, you know, we see them on TV a lot, and you obviously experienced it. If you can get a little bit to the right, a little left of the bumper, you can spin. The idea is spin the car, put them in the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's difficult to do, and I didn't know what the deputy knew or whatever the officer knew at that time, so I want to refrain from judging on what they're doing. I tell our people, if you can chase him, you can put him in a ditch and do that as quickly as you possibly can. Sometimes that means you don't, you're not bumper to bumper. Sometimes you have to, and ram's a strong word. Sometimes you have to affect a stop, and it depends on what you're stopping them for. Typically speaking, traffic, we don't chase them, but you won't know until you turn the lights on.
Right.
And we turn the lights on, they take off and like, okay, now what? So you turn the lights back off and they keep on going. And, you know, tragedies like this can take place. I think that there is a level of personal responsibility here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a bad guy there that his terrible actions caused the death of several people. And you said it was a gun. I don't know all the details about that. Why he had a gun, was that why he was running? Was he have a license? And that's the sad part is sometimes these people that stop or that don't stop for traffic, it could be so simple. It could be a license violation. It could be even a DUI. And you need to stop or obviously tragedies can
And it sounds
place.
Like in this case, it was based on some of the comments he made after the fact. It sounds like that's what was involved here. And by the way, I appreciate that because I probably earlier in the show, I was maybe a little bit too flippant about the cops didn't perform the pit right, you know, that, but to me, it highlights the value of the training that you guys do because you're equipping your officers to have the best chance in these very dangerous, volatile, quick circumstances to be able to accomplish the end result, which is keeping people safe and stopping the chase, which is that was the thing that was impressive to me is having gone through that. So Sheriff Chip Simmons, thank you as always for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the day. It's Veterans Day. Enjoy the parade.
You bet. Y'all take
care. Stay warm. All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 all look good. I'm not seeing any delays either. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Anderson Subaru has some outstanding fall offers on select 2025 Subarus. Choose 1.9 for 48 or 2.9 for 72 on Foresters. Get 1.9 for 63 on Crosstrek. Or choose 0% for 36 or 0.9 for 72 on Outbacks. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333. Or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, let's talk about the best places to catch holiday lights, what you can do to help visitors with the Visit Pensacola app, and how to show Thanksgiving the way to beach.
Thursday at 10, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Who are you guys?
We're the Ghostbusters.
Who does your taxes?
Good morning, 7:57 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news, and if you need any kind of work done inside your home, whether it's electrical or heating or air conditioning or plumbing, or you're thinking about getting a generator or getting a new generator, you know, Peden, they'll take care of you for all of that stuff. Started back in 1969 in Panama City when Robert Peden was hot in the summer in Florida and wanted to not be hot, so he learned how to do AC, and then he learned how to install it. And then he learned how to sell it, and he did it for then heating and then electrical and then plumbing and then generators and all the stuff that they do now everywhere from Tallahassee all the way over to Mobile, anywhere along the Gulf Coast. Quality installation, good parts, good people, and then 100% satisfaction guaranteed. They will definitely take care of you. And at Peden, when you choose the repair that their professionals recommend, they'll waive the dispatch fee. Plus, you get a full year of Smart Care membership for free. Call or book online at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The Senate taking a bid to end the government shutdown. The chamber voting Monday to pass a funding bill, which now goes to the House. The measure would fund the government through January. That passed on a 60-40 vote. The House not expected to take that bill up until Wednesday. It is Veterans Day, as we've mentioned, and President Trump will be visiting Arlington National Cemetery today. The president will be laying the wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and then delivering remarks as part of the official observance ceremony. This year's Veterans Day proclamation from the White House notes that the story of America is written with courage, honor, and dedicated service of our veterans.
You know, somebody sent me a note and said that I had missed, I had said it wrong when I was describing that everybody in or not in anymore is a veteran, you know, that active duty are not considered veterans. And I suppose that is correct because we have Armed Services Day. I don't know, you're a veteran. do you say happy Veterans Day to people who are active duty now?
I mean, you certainly can, I would think.
I'm just going to say thank you to everybody.
Stream us at NewsRadio.com.